Now, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard?
Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was...
Come on, everybody. What? Come on.
We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can...
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
I gotta be a man.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Welcome to the Place to Be podcast. It's WrestleMania week, and I'm
All right. I don't know how he used to do that. I guess he was coked up. I'm just not... I haven't sorted any lines before tonight's show. But I am your host, co-host, Justin Rosero, here at the Place to Be podcast. And with me, as always, straight out of Norwalk, my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott?
Good evening, sir.
Yeah,
good to talk to you, as always.
Yes, yes. And also joining us on the line here for this mega WrestleMania preview... Derek LaRue. Derek, how you doing?
Well, Snooki looks really drunk, and that's Visionette. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello. All right, how you guys doing?
Did you say Visionette?
Yeah, that's right.
I think you sound drunk.
Yeah, who's the drunk one?
Of course, Derek is the leader of the Place to Be fan club, creator of the Facebook page, and the tremendous intros that we hear. And also joining us is a good friend to the Place to Be, and that's Matt Rotella. Matt, welcome.
What's up?
All right, good to see your energy levels high as always. The compete level is 100.
Well, I don't know.
Did you have your hourly cigar? Because it sounds like you did.
I wish I did. Then again, I wish I smoked. That would help.
All right. Well, as we know, whenever we hear the Hulk Hogan theme song, "Real American" by Rick Derringer, that must mean it's WrestleMania week. And here tonight, to kick off WrestleMania week from the Place to Be, we are going to break down this year's event, WrestleMania 27.
Mm-hmm. Oh, written in the stars, a million miles away, a message to...
And WrestleMania will emanate from Atlanta this Sunday coming up. Atlanta, of course, home a long time to NWA, Georgia, and then WCW. So we will get into the tie-ins there later on in the show. But we are going to have two shows this week. First one, we'll be breaking down this year's card, and then later in the week, Scott and I are going to kind of go back in time through some other WrestleMania tidbits and moments. But also what we're going to do here tonight, after talking about the matches, give our picks for each match. We will be posting those on the Facebook page, which is just Facebook. Actually, Derek, another big step for us. It's just facebook.com/placetobepodcast, right? Is that how it is?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, so if you just go on there, you can... you know, post your picks, or you can come on bigelow34.proboards.com and get into our pay-per-view pick'em. Every month we post our picks, so we'll go ahead and get to those. You can get those posted as well and compete up against us like you did for March Madness. So let's get started with the card. Of course, about an hour and a half ago, there was a match added. The final match, we assume.
Actually, before you start that, I wanna test you guys on something. I got the True Story of WrestleMania DVD over the weekend. I'm about halfway through it, and it's actually, the documentary is outstanding, tremendous. I highly recommend getting this DVD. The reason I want to talk about it for a minute, just to kind of give you guys a frame of reference about the WWE's philosophy now involving their guys that aren't with the company anymore. By the way, they do actually a pretty glowing piece about Hogan, which I didn't think they do, but they actually did. They did 11 matches on the, in the extras. And I don't know, Justin said he hadn't looked at it. Derek, I don't know if you or Matt actually saw the list of extras for the DVD. Did you
look at them? But I don't remember.
Okay. Matt, did you see them?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys this is going to go very quickly. It's only 11 matches. I'm curious to see if you guys are surprised at the picks they put for a few of the matches. I'm going to give you guys the Mania, and then I want you to tell me which match you think they put on there. All right. Obviously, they put a match from the first WrestleMania.
I'm going with the main event.
Yeah, they put the main event down. Hulk Hogan, Mr. T against Piper and Orndorff. Pretty simple. This is an easy one. I'll just skip these. They did both big matches from WrestleMania 3. They did Savage Steamboat and they did Hogan Andre. Big shock there. Okay, they took a match from WrestleMania 7.
I'm guessing by your tone, it's not Warrior Savage.
It is not. It is Warrior Savage,
okay.
Actually. Okay. It is Warrior Savage.
So they put a Demolition versus the Japanese guys.
Fred Katao. <Cattell. laughs> Yeah. No, Fred I'm surprised. Cattell. I'm just saying the fact they put two Savage matches kind of surprised me. Okay.
We've talked about this before, and actually we'll get into this later in the week. But before Shawn Michaels, Savage pretty much was Mr. WrestleMania, really.
That is true. They took a match from WrestleMania 10. D-Ray, what do you think?
Doink and Luna versus Bam Bam. Doink and Dink versus Bam Bam and Ben Luna.
You are absolutely wrong.
I know.
Matt, what do you think?
Part of me wants to say Man on a Mission versus the Quebecers, but I'm going to go with Owen Hart versus Bret Hart.
You're wrong on both. Why do I even ask you?
I'm going with Razor Shawn.
It is Razor Shawn.
Yeah.
They took a match from WrestleMania 14.
When the Legion of Doom 2000 returns?
No.
I don't know what you expected with this crowd. You're going to get serious answers.
Why didn't your laptop just explode?
the dumpster match?
No. Steve and Shawn.
Okay.
I was just about to say.
I think you said these were like surprising. These are all the
The last few are somewhat surprising. All right.
I've been trying to pick random ones.
They took a match from 16. This one's actually easy.
TLC? Or a ladder?
Or the ladder. Yeah, the triangle ladder match. This one surprised me. They took a match from 17.
The Gimmick Battle Royal?
No, idiot.
Vince and Shawn? Shane?
Vince and Shane. I thought they would at least... I don't know if they would have put Steve or Rock on there, but I thought they would have put maybe the TLC or maybe Triple H and Taker. But no, they put Shawn and Vince and Shane.
It was a good match.
Yeah. This one's easy. 18, they took Rock Hogan. Here's the shocker for me. They took a match from 19.
Shawn Jericho?
Nope.
Rock and Kurt.
That shocks me.
Yeah, that is kind of surprising.
Of all the matches you would have thought they'd have put off 19, it would have been Steve and Rock or, like you said, Jericho, Shawn. No Shawn match. Well, Shawn, the Brett ladder match in 10. And then the last match, we don't have to guess, is Cena and Triple H from 22. What shocks me is they didn't put either of the Shawn Taker matches on here, which kind of shocks me a little bit.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Surprised. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up that they threw Brock and Kurt on there. Very shocking for the 19. And we've been waxing nostalgic both here on the Place to Be podcast and on our board about how much we love WrestleMania 19 as a show.
Yes.
I'm just surprised that they took that match. That surprised me.
Well, if you think about it, the match itself was pretty dramatic. And
it was excellent.
And the fact that Kurt Angle actually wrestled, wasn't he injured in the match or was it after the match?
Heading in he was.
Heading in.
So.
Yeah, but my point is I'm surprised they took two guys who aren't with the company right now. And actually one of them is in a competing company.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind
not
of
really
shocking.
Competing.
Well, not well. Some other company.
Yes.
That's I get the DVD. I strongly recommend it. I've only gone through half the documentary. I'm up to actually one of your favorite feuds, Mr. Azaro. Bigelow and LT. They do kind of go, show by show, but then they lump them together if they correlate with another show. Like when they talk about WrestleMania 3, they talk about 23. And then with 23, they talk about 4 and 5 with Trump. But the documentary so far is fantastic. So
yeah, I've read nothing but good things about it so far.
Yeah, I would get it just for that. The matches, if you have a lot of stuff like we do, the matches are irrelevant. But the documentary is tremendous.
You know, I thought you were going to say that Justin's favorite feud was Men on a Mission versus the Quebecers.
It was. I did love that in 94.
Well, we knew that already, but...
It's a big Quebecers mark. But all right, let's get going with this year's edition, and maybe one of these matches will make future WrestleMania DVD. So as I started to say, the newest match of the card, and probably the final match, was added about an hour and a half ago on Raw, and that is the core. Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel, Wade Barrett, and Ezekiel Jackson taking on Kane, Big Show, Santino Marella, and Vladimir Kozlov. Now, rumor was that it was going to be Christian and Kofi Kingston in this match originally, but we're guessing, Christian has other things going on right now that will either be revealed on Friday or just, at the show itself. The bigger surprise is Kofi Kingston being left off the show, so... let's just kind of start talking about this match in general and then where we think maybe, where they went wrong with Kofi all this time as well. Maybe we can throw that in. So Scott, why don't you just kind of start us off and we'll just kind of talk about this one.
Yeah. Okay. I, the team going against the core, Kane, Show, Kozlov, and Santino, I'm a little surprised as well that Kofi's not on here. I wonder if he's hurt, or maybe he's just, you know, maybe they just go in a cycle of guys that just have to get left off just because they have to.
I think he's in the doghouse. I think it's pretty evident. Especially losing the title to Wade Barrett on SmackDown.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think Barrett was probably going to win it eventually. I don't know why he's on the shit list, though. I mean, has he done anything wrong? His matches are still good.
Well, the stuff with Orton, I mean, that was over a year ago now, wasn't it? Orton was pissed at him and kind of flipped out on him backstage or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly, my personal opinion is I think Kofi's going to turn heel after WrestleMania. I think they're going to make him like a Peter Tosh kind of crazy Jamaican or whatever he is, nut job or something. I don't know. But they're going to turn him heel, I think. As for this match, if Kofi and like the babyface team was a little more beefed up, I would have picked them. But seeing that you got two guys, and I have nothing against Vladimir Kozlov or Santino for that matter, but they're two guys that could eat a pin and nobody'd care. And I think they really want to make the core strong, kind of match up, because they have the more established guys than Punk's Nexus does. I think they want to try and keep building their momentum. And now three of the four guys have belts, except Ezekiel. He's the only one who doesn't. So I think the core will win this match. I don't know where they'll go in the card. We were talking earlier before we went on the air about maybe opening with this, but I could see this kind of going in the same slot, similar to the ECW Originals and the New Breed did at 23, maybe like second or third or fourth, I think it was, somewhere around there, somewhere the middle two or three matches. And I like the core to win.
Matt, what do you think?
I was actually going to mention this. This match has New Breed, ECW Original match written all over it. It's just a bunch of guys thrown together just for the sake of putting them on the show. I'm not a big fan of this Vladimir Kozlov, Santino Marella group. I don't know why.
I can't believe that. That seems like something that would be directly up your alley.
I don't know. It usually is. I agree with you. I have no idea why it's not. It just annoys me. I just can't stand Vladimir Kozlov, mainly. I like Santino. I don't mind Tamina, but I can't stand Vladimir Kozlov. The guy's a waste of human
talent. Sexual appeal isn't high enough for you. Is that what it is?
What was that?
The sexual appeal is not high enough for you. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I think Tamina's hot, actually.
I have no idea where we're going with that or what the heck you're talking about.
He no-sells D-Ray's first joke.
I get the joke. What the hell? The joke was there.
I think it's a good chance to get Barrett on the card. You're going to get the tag champs on the card. You know, you're getting a bunch of champions in this match. And I agree with Scott, whereas I think if Christian and Kofi were in the match, that team probably would have gone over. But now, I can definitely see Santino eating the pin, especially tonight on Raw. He pinned, I can't remember who the heck he fought. I think he fought Gabriel, and he got the win in that match. So he'll probably kind of a sign that they're going to job. So you agree, Derek?
Well, yes, he beat Gabriel, just to let you know. And, well, if the opposing team to the core, consisting of Kane, Big Show, Vladimir, and Santino, if it had better members, because I had heard at one time that Kevin Nash was actually considered to be a part of the team, and it was supposed to be a 4-on-3 handicap match. He was going to be reprise the Diesel character again. Then I think, okay, maybe they got a chance against the core, but if you're adding a comedy team, yes, they were former tag team champions, but you're adding a comedy team nevertheless, as Kozlov and Santino, you're thinking, okay, I don't think they stand a chance. Oh, you got Kane and Big Show, but the core is just too strong to really have them lose to these four.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're all in agreement that the core wins. So
the core, yeah, it's going to be the core because, and I would think that maybe, you know, some. I mean, I don't expect Wendy's girl to get a victory here, but I do expect maybe Gabriel will get his win back over Santino tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, that or Barrett will probably get the win. One of the two of them. So
I kind of like your idea though, Derek, about sticking somebody like Diesel in this match. I thought that would be kind of neat. Maybe add, you know, give these guys a chance, and you probably get a good pop from the Atlanta crowd for the former NWO-ite.
Well, he's going to be there as well. Him and him and Sean Waltman are both going to be. They've already confirmed, and I think Hall too. Actually, I think they're all going to be there for the Hall of Fame.
Hall said he's not going.
Oh, he changed it now.
Yeah,
he said he wasn't ready physically to go.
Okay, so you know it would be kind of cool last minute, maybe. And they might pull something like this because Santino and Kozlov are easily replaceable. Maybe they get taken out backstage and then, you know, Nash and Waltman take their place. You know, something like that would be kind
of
cool.
Or just get rid of Kozlov.
But
beat the crap out of him. Have a Kali happen to him.
Oh, jeez.
But
so,
all
right, Derek, I think you can mark us all down for the core on that one there.
All right, we got the core. Oh, I have to add Madden, damn it.
All right, so a second match we're going to get to here is a match that was just added last week, and that is the resurgent Sheamus, the new United States champion, taking on former champion Daniel Bryan. Now, in my opinion, this seems to be one of two choices, in my eyes, to be the opener. I'd probably go with this, and I'd probably give them at least 10 minutes, because their match on Raw last week was tremendous. And yes. Daniel Bryan's kind of been, you know, what Matt Hardy was a couple years ago, where no matter what he did or who he fought on TV, every match was always good. And that's Daniel Bryan. Every match he's been in on TV has really been very good this year, and when he gets the time to tell the story. So I think him and Sheamus, if given an amount of time, you know, can put on a good story. Originally, I thought as soon as Bryan lost the title of Sheamus that he'd be winning it back here. But the way they've been making Sheamus really strong again, he'll probably retain, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think this should be the opener. And I loved the match last week on Raw. And I love Daniel Bryan. I don't think he needs to win it back for the time being. I think they'll keep making Sheamus strong. Maybe they'll wrestle next month at Extreme Rules. And I think these two work well together. Number one, because Daniel Bryan, both guys like to work stiff. Daniel Bryan's kicks are so legit. And Sheamus loves that shit. So, you know, he doesn't mind getting kicked in the face, kicked in the chest. He doesn't care. And the harder Bryan kicks, the more he gets into it. So I think it's going to be a great match. I think it's going to be really stiff. I'll almost put money on it being the opener. And I think it'll go at least 12 to 13 minutes. And I'd like to see Bryan win it back, but maybe he'll win it back somewhere down the line. But I think we need to balance the heel face situation on this show because it is very distinct. So, I think Bryan retains it. I think Sheamus retains it. It'd be a good match, though. It'd be a great match.
I'm going to agree with you guys, and I do think that this does have the potential to be an opener, and it should be. I also believe that I don't see Bryan winning the title back because that's just too quick, especially with the losing streak that Sheamus has had prior to his victory with even when he won the King of the Ring tournament. He had the losing streak. He got somewhat buried when he got pedigreed by Triple H, but that was from a long time ago, and, well, history is history. But I do think Sheamus is going to retain the title, and it is going to be an excellent match. I don't think it will go 15 minutes, but it should go at least 10.
Yeah, I'm hoping for 10. That's kind of my goal, 10.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, maybe it shouldn't be the opener, because the last few years, if it wasn't other than the Money in the Bank when that's open, it seems like they don't give a ton of time to openers.
Yeah, but no, I do agree. Sheamus, I think Sheamus is definitely going to retain the title.
Matt, you're gonna make it a clean sweep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sheamus, and I'm gonna agree with you. If this is the opener, it potentially could be the best opener in WrestleMania history if they give it the time.
Nah, it's never gonna surpass Bret and Owen, but it could be top three, I'd say.
Yeah, I think Bret and Owen will be tough to top in opener history. But, I mean, this could reach, you know, levels of some of the other openers in the last few years, at least the last 10 years.
You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, this match could reach the level, because I always thought one of my two favorite openers they did back-to-back years, I love Jericho, Regal. They both involve Regal.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jericho, Regal at 17, and I loved RVD and Regal at 18. It could surpass those. But I agree with Justin. It's going to take something very special sometime throughout eternity to surpass Bret and Owen. But match could do it if given the time.
I will say this. The only opener that I could see surpassing Bret and Owen is a old-timers lights-out match between Justin and Scott with Matt as the referee.
I don't know.
I have no words for that.
Yes.
I'd put us in the middle. We're like the mid-main event. I wouldn't, you know. Right. I don't know if I'd put it.
Still an old timer.
I thought I heard crickets on that one.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Know where you live.
D-Ray's bombing like a situation on the Trump roast.
Know where you all live.
All right. Well, our next match is actually one I'm really looking forward to, because I've kind of been digging this feud and digging the character work by Cody Rhodes in his feud with Rey Mysterio. Of course, this has started when Ray, I forget even the exact genesis. I believe he just kicked Cody in the face or whatever, and Cody's under the impression that his face is horribly disfigured. He's wearing a face mask. You know, it's almost like a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing. He's like afraid to show his face, and he's all freaked out. And you know, of course, Dusty Rhodes got involved in this as well. He played it down the middle first, and then he turned heel as he always does to help his son. Cody. They beat the crap out of Ray. So, and of course, Cody also had that great beatdown of Ray where he ripped his mask off and he's been carrying it around. So this is kind of flown under the radar, I think, but it also has potential to steal the show. Ray really looking to make Cody before he starts winding down. That's one of his goals, he had said. And he wanted to wrestle him on the show. I think Cody goes over, ending the face mask thing. And you know, kind of moving on from here. Maybe Ray gets a win back in ensuing show. But I think for the big show, the big win, Cody gets it here. Matt, what do you think?
I actually really like this match, and I think it's also going to be the point where Cody Rhodes needs to prove to everyone that he is the future of the WWE. I do think Cody wins here. Otherwise, it doesn't really make sense for Ray if he wants to build this guy up to win here.
Right.
So I'm going all the way with Cody.
And I think this is the other match that I thought maybe could open the show. But usually matches that have this deep of a build, they don't use to open the show. Like, this is something they'll want to show a video package for and kind of get the history behind it. That's why I think something like Sheamus Bryan could be more of an opener, because there's not much there. Derek, you agree on that? Or?
Well, actually, now that I was thinking about it, I do also... Yeah, I agree. Cody and Ray could definitely be a good opener to start with. And as for the winner, well... This whole feud is based on just simple facial damage and the fact that Cody has to wear a mask. But I got to admit, ever since these two have feuded, Cody has been on a roll as of late.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am backing him. And I also believe that he should win. And the reason why is because Rey Mysterio, he's gotten some wins that he shouldn't have gotten on the pay-per-view stage as of late. Specifically the Survivor Series victory where he won with Edge. I don't think he shouldn't have been on the stage at that point. He should have been eliminated at that point. And there's some other victories that I feel he shouldn't have won. But I think that this is Cody's time. This is definitely his opportunity, and he should take it, because he didn't win at, what was it, 25 that he faced Orton and DiBiase? Was that last year?
Last year.
It was last year, okay. Well, he didn't get the victory, so this would be a good opportunity for him to kind of throw that victory, throw that loss away, and take this victory in stride and win. And this would be a good opportunity for him, and this would be a nice start to what could be a good year for him. So,
agreed.
Yeah.
Scott?
Yeah, I concur. You know, I'm trying to think, Justin, I think it was his knee brace that hit him in the face.
That's right, because then Cody used the knee brace. And this week on SmackDown, yeah. Cody had a knee brace on. He ripped his pants off and he beat Ray in the head with it.
Yeah. I agree. I like Cody in this match too. I think Ray is starting to hit the downside of his career now. And I think now with Sin Cara debuting soon, probably after Mania, obviously,
mm-hmm.
I think he'll be kind of, because Ray's body is shot. I mean, his knees are shot. I think he's ready to kind of, I think he wants to go back down to Mexico, and I think he wants to book for, I don't know which one it is, AAA or EMLL, one of those two. I think he wants to kind of fade out, and I think that's why WWE signed Sin Cara.
Well, there was a rumor like a couple weeks ago that Ray had asked for his release after WrestleMania. He since denied that and said he wants to stay. I don't know what's true, if they were just downplaying it. But if he's going to go out, do you give a guy like that, you know, a farewell, a send-off? Or do you have something like this maybe where Cody snaps and beats the crap out of him and he leaves? Like, kind of like RVD.
I think he'll win this match, Cody. And I think they'll have Ray hang around one more month. And I think they'll have a huge blow-off at whatever the hell next month's show is, Extreme Rules, I guess. And I think Ray wins that, and then you'll see him leave.
Okay.
And I think Cody will start to rebuild. I think Cody will be built back up again. But I think Ray will get one win before he leaves, but I don't think it'll be here.
All right, so another clean sweep then. We're all going for Cody here, sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay.
All sounds right. Good.
So let's move on to our next match, and that is one of the, the main pop culture match here, trying to lure in some of the non-WWE audience and some of the Jersey Shore audience. And it's pretty funny because TNA, and we talked about this, I think, last time Derek was on, you know, they're trying to use Jersey Shore to boost their ratings, to use JWoww and then Angelina. And they just totally bombed. You know, first they had them up against Jersey Shore, and then they barely even promoted it. And then, you know, Snooki's been with WWE for 3 weeks now, and they've gotten, you know, ridiculous amounts of coverage and press, and they've really pushed on TV all that press that they have gotten. And I think someone like her is tailor-made for this. They're doing it in a smart way, burying her in a six-man, you know, with some talented performers that can cover for her. John Morrison, and Dolph Ziggler on the male side, and then, you know, Trish, a veteran in there, knows exactly what she's doing in these kind of matches. And LA Cool really has been one of the best acts on SmackDown, I think, over the last 2 years, and their stuff this week was pretty good. They had the Snooki Poof and the slippers on, and they were, you know, mocking her, so they're really good in their role. I hope, they always kind of tease that they may break up, but then they never do. I hope they don't, because there's definitely one group where the them together is way better than either of them would be separate, I think. I think it's obvious that the faces will win here. Vicky will get laid out by Snooki at some point, and, you know, they want Trish Strong for Tough Enough, and that's why she's in this match. And John Morrison, obviously, could use the win as well. So I'm going to take them, and I think this will be an entertaining match in the middle of the card, and they're going to get the publicity from it that they want.
I agree. I just want to clarify, though, and I had mentioned this to you, Justin, on a previous podcast, but now that Mr. LaRue is here with us, was this a joke, or did you accidentally, when you were writing out the list of matches on our wonderful message board, the place to be board, Bigelow34ProBoards.com, did you actually mean to type Spooki instead of Snooki? Or did you
I was waiting for somebody to mention it. I did that on purpose.
Oh, all right. I didn't get
another
it.
Another award-winning joke.
I did it on purpose.
Okay. I agree with Justin. And again, it's a typical example of a company that is expert marketing and a company who has no fucking clue what's going on. And the problem that TNA did, and I don't want to belabor this point. Well, I just want to, I'll veer back to the match, but I have to say this. They took the Jersey Shore. Now Justin watched it more than I do. I have watched a few episodes, so I know who the strong characters are. JWoww and Angelina are good characters on the show, but they're not the strongest characters on the show. Clearly the two strongest characters, in my personal opinion, and Justin, you could disagree with me, but this is another podcast for another day, are Snooki and, in my opinion, the situation. They're probably the two strongest personalities that everybody...
Yeah, they're definitely the two most, when you think of the show or you hear their names, you know, this season, its situation's kind of faded towards the back, but overall, when you think of the show, JWoww, while she's not the biggest name on the show, she's probably actually towards the bottom. Her and Vinny are probably the bottom too. But she's actually seems the most tailor-made for wrestling. She's a big girl. She's tall. She's a bitch. She's tough. And she actually seems like she's, you know, kind of trashy. She seems like she'd fit the mold the best. But Angelina, at the time TNA got her, was actually still kind of hot. She was coming off of that stretch of Jersey Shore where she was dominating the show, and then, you know, she left again, and, you know, she was really hated. And I think they could have used her... if they did it properly, if they had their heads out of their asses and knew, you know, how to use these kind of, you know, low-level celebrities. But, you know, putting them up against Jersey Shore, which is the audience you're trying to draw in, is just so ass-backwards. And from what I read, though, I think Angelina's actually staying with them. I think she signs a contract to learn to wrestle. So, I don't know. But go ahead, I'll let you.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is they took Snooki, who everybody knows, and she's probably the strongest of the whole show, personality-wise, that everybody recognizes, and they booked this perfectly. And like you said, they didn't throw her into a singles match with Vicky or something stupid.
Right.
They hid her with a load of good talent, and it works perfectly. And clearly, the baby faces win this match. Clearly. And I think something happens, and Vicky, I finally think Vicky will go off camera.
Yeah,
I don't know about permanently, but I think she'll go off camera for a while. Yeah, the SmackDown is really starting to grow as a roster, and we'll get into this more when we do our post-WrestleMania show. But I think the SmackDown roster is really building to the point where you really don't need her anymore. I think her and Michael Cole almost are bashing in terms of too much heel annoyance of non-wrestlers. And if his heel character keeps up, you don't really need her anymore.
Yeah, but
so,
is Dolph as strong without her? I mean, he's strong in the ring, but isn't part of his appeal as a hot heel, you know, his association with her?
Well, maybe Lay Cool will get him as their kind of
possibly
boy toy. I was gonna use a terrible example. Matt may appreciate this, but kind of the same situation that they had with the PT, what is it, the PTYs or PYTs or whatever, and Sean Stasiak, who was Meat. You know, in that kind of scenario, only better, obviously.
PMS,
that,
you mean?
PMS, thank you. I couldn't remember. I like PYT.
Yeah, or PTYs.
PTYs, pardon the interrupt, PTI, yeah. Similar situation. But yeah, that's my personal opinion. I think Vicky's gone after the show. I think she'll go off camera for a while.
I disagree with that. Every time you see her go off camera, she comes back.
Yeah, I don't think she's going anywhere. I think she's too hot to go anywhere.
I'm sure you mean hot as a character, not
yeah, obviously. Okay. Although I'll give her credit. She's definitely gotten herself into some pretty damn good shape. If you go back and look at like SummerSlam 05 when she got into the Rey and Eddie feud, she's definitely come a long way since then.
Yes,
she's definitely busted her ass. So I give her full credit, but I think this leads to a Morrison Ziggler singles continuation of a singles feud as well, maybe going into Extreme Rules. You know, a lot of people complain about Morrison not really getting a push that they think he deserved. They think he should be in the main event level. I'm fine with them kind of slowing down with him and then waiting until, you know, the doldrums of summer and fall to re-energize his push. I think it was fine. They gave him a taste of it, you know, earlier this year. But heading into WrestleMania, I think there's just too much going on that, you know, it's fine for him to kind of lay low for a while. But, Derek, what do you think of this match?
Where'd he go?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was very distracted as seeing Cena just basically...
We'll get into that when we get to that match. We'll talk
about
it.
Okay, all right. Well, in any event... Well, I do not watch Jersey Shore. I have not seen Jersey Shore, so I cannot really comment on the Jersey Shore aspect. Although I do say that both companies are really... You know, they're taking the time to acknowledge that there's another reality show out there. And the fact that they're using Jersey Shore characters, both TNA and WWE, it's ridiculous because you're actually inserting them into wrestling matches when these two can't even wrestle a broom.
Yeah, know? But any show of any show, Jersey Shore is kind of the one that lends itself to this because the whole show, they're always fighting, they're always getting into brawls. Like, if there's any show that really correlates to the world of wrestling, I think that's the one. It's not like, you know, they're bringing someone off of Days of Our Lives to wrestle. I mean, this, you know, the show itself is built around trashy girls fighting in bars. So, I mean, if any show lends itself to it, it's this.
Is that what turns you on, Rosero?
Obviously.
Oh, okay, just checking. Well, I do agree that there are some people out there who think John Morrison should be higher on the totem pole. Well, he would be if they had planned on Rock Cena at Mania. Well, that I'm sure I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I'm just saying, this is where he is right now, and I think it's a good idea. And as I agree with you, Justin, I think it's a good idea for them to slow down a little bit, maybe prepare for him getting a nice match at Mania next year. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely gonna go with the faces here because I love Lay Cool, and well, Dolph Ziggler kind of reminds me of. Look-wise, he reminds me of Billy Gunn during his Mr. Ass period in 99 and 2000, 2001. But I'm definitely going with Morrison, Trish, and Snooki because the fact that they're burying her in that instead of having her wrestle on her own definitely will – she'll get in the ring. She might do a few moves here and there. Maybe she'll surprise us. Who knows? But
She'll do a Thez press. She'll knock Vicky off the apron and hit a splash
or
something.
That should probably do it. But yeah, I'm definitely going with Morrison, Trish, and Spooky.
Matt, do you have any other comments on this?
This match is tailor-made for the faces to win. I don't have much to say about it. I just think it's a throw-in match, to be honest with you. But
okay.
I'm going the faces here.
All right, so I guess another clean sweep then. Morrison, Trish, and Snooki. You know, do you guys think Trish is sticking around, or do you think this is just a one-time thing for Tough Enough?
One-time thing.
Yeah.
I don't see her sticking around. She's too in-depth in that yoga in her whole fitness studio up in Toronto, so I don't see her staying too much.
Yeah, she doesn't have the she's not like Rock was when Rock was on for a while when they showed him in 04 and 05 when he definitely lost a lot of his bulk. As we see now, he's cut all of it back.
Mm-hmm.
But Trish is like, what is she, like 185 pounds now? I mean, she was probably that.
185? She's probably 120.
Yeah, she's like, I meant like 100, 100 in guy weight. But yeah, she's like 120 pounds now. She's small. She's I don't want to say she's bony, but
she looks good, though.
She looks great, but she doesn't look wrestling shape. So, no. I think she's strictly here for Tough Enough. She might pop on screen every, you know, maybe every 4, 5, or 6 weeks to fuck around with Lay Cool or something, get in their heads or whatever. But as for a weekly thing, nah.
I could maybe see her doing one more match at Extreme Rules, kind of like Steamboat a couple years ago, you know, had us come back at WrestleMania, and then he kind of got a spotlight match a couple months later as another farewell. Like, I could see her sticking around and maybe fighting, you know, McCool at next month's pay-per-view or something. But, yeah, who knows? If, you know, it may play up something with Tough Enough. But all right, so let's move on to another feud that's actually been building.
And I'm going to agree with you guys.
With what you think she's one time?
Yeah, I'm gonna get my one sentence in there before I get rudely cut off and say I agree with you.
All right, so our next match is gonna be Randy Orton and CM Punk. This feud's been going on for a while. It's kind of, you know, comes up and then simmers and then has kind of reignited over the last month. They used a lot of history referencing a couple years ago when Orton cost Punk the championship in the scramble match. He kicked him backstage and took him out of the match, so Punk lost without ever actually being pinned. Punk used that as his motivation to go after Orton here, which is great, as Punk is always does. Over the last 4 weeks, the stipulation was if any member of Nexus could beat Orton, they could be in Punk's corner. Of course, Orton kicked the shit out of all of them and sent them all back to Florida wrestling there. Last week, Punk hit Orton in the knee with a wrench and then, you know, made goo-goo eyes at his wife on the bus. And then earlier tonight, Orton kind of got the better of him, but his knee gave out, so he couldn't give the RKO. As much as I want to see Punk win, he's kind of dominated the feud when it's been him and Orton in the ring. You know, Orton's dominated the other Nexus parts, but I think Orton gets the win. This is just a basic WrestleMania match. Two guys fight, face wins. Matt?
I really have been liking this build-up. CM Punk and Randy Orton just are having a field day out there as far as storylines go. And I especially liked today when you had CM Punk in the middle of the ring to start off Raw with a big spotlight like Batista had and him just calmly going off. I really like this whole storyline, but I'm going to go with Orton on this one just to finish it off. And I think they'll continue the wrestle throughout much of the first half of this year.
Derek?
Well, I am going to agree. I like Matt's perspective that they're having a field day out there, and that's kind of true because you got CM Punk, probably one of the best psychological wrestlers in the business today, as he always has been. And then you have Randy Orton, who is coming off a nice run as WWE champion, and he's basically having, you know, and the fact that the continuity is there coming from 2-3 years ago. And I think that with Orton being able to overcome the odds and make it one-on-one, it truly will be one-on-one, and we're going to see a great match. Will it be a show stealer? It has the potential to be, yes. But I also think that it would have to be depending on how long they get and how well they do. But I think this is Punk's to lose. Even though I'm going to pick Orton, this is Punk's to lose because Punk has been great the past couple of years. Ever since he turned heel, he's been awesome.
Now, do you think, you know, we could see, first of all, what do you think Nexus is going? Do we think it's over? Do we think he's going to bring new guys in? You know, do the other guys come back? Do we see somebody new debut here and help Punk win?
Well, or it could be somebody who's old. Like, for example, we haven't seen the big guys, the one that I felt that they were pushing big time, Skip Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him since his ankle got injured, and he was pretty much forgotten. I would imagine that he could make a comeback here.
Yeah,
and
he'd be great muscle for Punk, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's the fact that they, you know, Mason Ryan's gone, unless I would imagine that the Nexus would probably come back after Mania, because I think they just basically kicked them in the head just to get them out of the way.
Yeah, although I think McGillicuddy is going to get repackaged. I think he's going to come back with a different gimmick. Husky Harris is definitely getting repackaged.
Yeah.
And, you know, Atunga maybe comes back. I'm not sure. I think Mason Ryan was way too green. I like his Sheffield idea. That would be pretty cool if he came back. Scott, you agree? I know you liked him.
Actually, it's funny. Derek took the words right out of my mouth because I'm actually going to pick Punk to win this match. And I think Skip Sheffield's going to come out and cost Orton this match. I originally wasn't going to say Skip Sheffield. I thought that someone was actually going to turn heel. And I was thinking Kofi, and maybe Kofi joins the Nexus. But someone's going to come out and cost Orton this match. This is my upset special. I know everybody feels the momentum's running. And again, Matt, I agree with you 100%. I just think they're having a blast out here. Their feud is kind of under the radar, so they're able to have a little fun and go a little extra because nobody's really focusing on them per se. And I'm going to take the upset special, and I think Punk's going to win. And I think whoever – I think someone's going to come out and cost it. Either Sheffield comes back, although, you know, a compound fracture is nothing – you know, Joe Theismann had to retire because of it. It's not an easy injury to come back from. So I don't even know if he's ready yet. And it's been, what, six months? What did he get hurt in September?
Yeah, it was a while ago. And there were rumors that he'd be back around the Rumble, and then they said now that was being a little too – you know,
optimistic.
Yeah, optimistic. So, you know, by now, yeah, he might be okay to come back and do, you know, in a bodyguard role.
Right. I think someone's going to come out and cost Orton this match. That's my upset special. I'm going to finally break the sweeps here. I like Punk to win this match.
I know. I'm kind of thinking about changing my mind, but I'm going to stick with Orton for now, but might have to rethink this. All right, so with that said, let's move on now to the main four matches that they're really using to sell the show. And the first one is actually the one I think many people are, and especially me, I'm looking forward to the most, and that's the tremendous Jerry Lawler-Michael Cole match that's coming up here. Now, I think they have been brilliant in booking this match. Michael Cole has been spot on as a heel. The Cole Mine is freaking awesome. Lawler's facials and the way he's been selling everything has just been tremendous. Jack Swagger's been great in his role. Brian Christopher was great in his role. The way they have really built this and made it personal with Cole taking shots at Lawler's parents that are both passed away, you know, bringing out his son to rip on him, and Lawler just having to sit there and take it because if he touches Cole, he gets disqualified. Cole with the freaking slammy and everything else in the Cole Mine, you know, with the Twitter. I just think the feud has really been the best built-up feud for the show. Lawler obviously has to win. I think they're going to go the Andy Kaufman route, basically, where, you know, Cole gets a few shots in and then Lawler just finishes him off with a pile driver. That's obviously the spot everyone wants to see, is Lawler just punch him in the face, take him out. Swagger will probably hit Lawler to start, let Cole get a few licks in, and then King just finishes him off pretty quickly. So, but I have actually read some rumors, I don't know how substantial it is, but that they want Cole to get involved in the women's division, kind of in an Andy Kaufman role, how he used to do the intergender stuff. And I had been thinking over the past few days, wondering if Eve was going to get involved in this match. You know, Cole keeps interrupting the women's matches and ripping on them. You know, if Eve gets involved here and helps Lawler as well, just kind of get the shot at Cole, and if he does kind of go into that, which could be funny. They have to be kind of delicate how they do it. But Scott, what do you think, or how do you feel about this match, and where do you think it's going?
Well, I tell you, I was just perusing one of the sites that we like to go to for information, and that's Lords of Pain. And apparently, Michael Cole's on-screen persona seems to be bleeding over backstage, and it's starting to piss people off. He's actually he's very arrogant during creative meetings. He's telling guys, don't bother writing me scripts because you suck at it. He's just been a complete douche, apparently. Whether that's true or not, who knows? Some source, you know, the quote source.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I truly think Cole is going to get annihilated in this match. I think Lawler's going to keep lifting him up in pins. Something's going to happen where Swagger is no longer going to be. I have a feeling Booker may interfere. Well, I don't know about Booker because he's going to be commentating, but because Cole's been kind of getting on him on SmackDown. Something's going to happen where Swagger will end up being incapacitated. And I think Jerry, and you and I, we've talked about this in our last few podcasts. I think Lawler is absolutely going to turn him into fucking hamburger by the end of this match. I think he'll be unrecognizable. My only gripe with this match, believe it or not, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, I don't like Steve Austin as the ref.
I almost forgot about it. That's how awful it probably is.
I don't like Steve, and I love Steve. Everyone knows we're all big Steve fans. I think he takes away from this match. Because now it's almost a foregone conclusion that Jerry... Well, Jerry's going to win anyway. We all know that. But, and I love Steve, but I know they're trying to get him on for Tough Enough, and there really was nowhere else to fit him here. I just don't like having him as the referee here.
Well, we've talked about it, that Cole, you know, Cole should be stacking the deck against Lawler, and this is almost stacking the deck against Cole.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been happy keeping JBL as the referee and then have Steve come out driving down with a late TV or whatever and fuck up JBL and then Lawler wins. I don't like Steve as the ref here. I think it fucks the feng shui up. I think this is where sometimes marketing can't supersede logic. And I think the marketing thing of Austin and tough enough and all that kind of stuff, and just the fact that it's Steve, is taking away from this match. But regardless of that, I honestly think Lawler is going to absolutely rip him to shreds. I think Cole is going to take a bigger beating than anything we've ever seen.
Well, Cole's obviously, he's probably going to get a receipt too, because I don't know if you guys are up on the thing what happened over the weekend on Twitter where he called Josh Matthews a fag, I guess, on Twitter.
Yeah, I heard about that.
He got in trouble for that, and especially coming off all the stuff with GLAAD getting on their case about some of John Cena's comments that Scott, actually, we talked about on one of our other podcasts, kind of how he felt about what he was saying, and GLAAD kind of got on their case, and now Cole had an issue, an apology, and you know, I'm all for living the gimmick. I like that he's being a dick backstage. I think that's cool. That's old school. Let him do it. That's how he should be doing it. Kayfabe, baby. But I don't, you know, going on Twitter and saying that kind of stuff was probably a little bit too much. Matt, where do you think this is going?
This is the match I've been looking forward to out of any of these matches. I just want to see Michael Cole pummeled into oblivion. I've been wanting to punch him in the face since last November, and I've been waiting for this moment all year. And obviously, Jerry Lawler is going to beat the crap out of him and win. And I agree with Scott that Steve Austin really shouldn't be the ref here, but I am still looking forward to that inevitable Rock Austin moment backstage.
True.
So, overall, this match is going to be probably the match of the night for a lot of people. I know it's going to be for me. I'm going to go with Jerry Lawler here.
Derek?
Well, before I give my answer, I would like to remind everyone that the Place to Be podcast is brought to you by the World Wrestling Federation, what the world is watching. Now, in any event, I will get to what I want to speak about. Well, I'm going to disagree with you, Scott. I don't think that this is that Steve Austin is the referee is bringing down the match that much. The only time we've seen him so far is when he made that appearance and signed the contract. We haven't seen him since. This reminds me of when he refereed the match between Umaga and Bobby Lashley. He was made the referee. He didn't appear that much. And then the only time he really interfered was when Umaga nailed him from behind. And basically he got revenge that way.
But those guys were kind of on his level, like look and build-wise. I mean, him, you know, going up against Cole, just the vision of him refereeing this match, I think, just is a little off.
Maybe so, but in his case, it's wait and see, because we don't know what kind of role he's going to have in refereeing the match. But as for the match itself, this has definitely been probably one. I don't care what you all think. This has probably been one of the best feuds, the best builds of any WrestleMania match in recent years. I mean, probably one of the best, if not the best.
Definitely. And, I mean, much better than Bret and Vince last year, and a lot of people were looking forward to that.
Definitely. And the fact that the fact that Cole has been taunting Lawler the entire time, whether it's physical abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, it doesn't matter. It's all building up, and it's giving the opportunity for Lawler to basically, this is just pointed mildly, Cole's getting his ass kicked. It's very simple. And whether it's done by Lawler, whether it's done by anybody, I mean, whether it's done by Lawler, whether it's done by Austin, whether it's...
Jim Ross could also get involved in this.
That's
and you
what I was
going
to say, whether it's even done by JR, because, you know, he's going to definitely be there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, do you think he's going to end up calling the main events, or do you think they're just going to stick with Matthews and Booker for the whole show?
Well, as a hopefully a future commentator myself, I would like to be there, but I know that's not going to happen. But I think that what it's going to come down to is we're going to see Josh Matthews and Booker T, and I think this is a great opportunity for Josh, well deserved in my opinion. But I do think they're going to bring Jim Ross in, and whether or not they're going to have him call, I would imagine he's going to call Cole and Lawler's match. If he's brought in, he's definitely going to call Taker and Triple H, which, you know, we'll get to that. But my point it mildly, Michael Cole's getting his ass kicked, and he's going to lose. You know what? And now I think about it, I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Cole won, because if he wins,
no way, they have to let.
Well, no. I know that. I that's probably what is going to happen. But what I'm saying is, if Michael Cole wins, though, not only would it be a major shocker, but it would mean that something is going to happen at you know, something will happen between the two at Extreme Rules, which would definitely increase it. But I know it's not. I know it's a long shot. It's a shot out of left field. It's not going to happen. Michael Cole's getting his ass kicked. And end of story.
Now, the conundrum I see here, and Scott, I wanted to get your take on this, for match placement, you kind of wonder, do they put this... To me, this is built like it should be on a main event level later in the show, but I also think you want this to be the first emotional match of the night, because I think it's really been built as the most emotional match. So I hate to have the crowd be flat coming off either Taker, Triple H, or you know,
it's
something with Edge.
Or Taker, Triple H. That's what I think.
But I think it should be like third, to be honest. I think it should be out there early to really, really get the crowd pumped. You want that full out emotional investment in this match.
Yeah, I think Vince and the Bookers learned their lesson, and they talked about this on the DVD actually. When they were talking about they talked about WrestleMania 6, and then they went on to WrestleMania 18, and they were talking about Hogan and Rock. And Triple H said, and this is one of the few times where I don't know if I'd necessarily totally believe him or not, although Jericho kind of backed it up. He said that the two of them went to Vince and said, "We and the Bookers, you know, Lagana and all those guys, we don't want to be on last. You need to put Rock and Hogan last. You should not put us last." And they said, "No, title must go last." So for once, conventional wisdom failed. And this is a similar situation where they have to be very, very careful where to stick this, because if they put this too – I agree with you, Justin. If they put this too far to the end, you need to give yourself – because the two title matches, which we'll get to, don't have as much sizzle as the Taker Triple H match does. You don't want to have that match too close to that. So I agree with you. I have a feeling that Sheamus and Daniel Bryan will go first. And then I think they're going to put the core match second. And then I think they'll put this match third. And then I think they'll put the Snooki match after that. That's how I think the first four matches will go. So I agree with you.
I question that. Do you really feel you want to put the four low card matches first? Because then you're going to need a breather between matches. Like, I go back. Let's go back to WrestleMania 18. You had Rock Hogan, you had the women's title match, you had Triple H and Jericho. You need a match in there that's going to be a breather. And I think that putting Sheamus and Daniel Bryan as the opener is perfect. But you're taking the eight-man tag with the core, and you're taking the six-man tag with the six interperson tag with Snooki. You're putting them as the first four matches. Don't you think that you need put the core as like,
I think the core is going to be the match towards the end that kind of fills out space.
Well, you know what? How about this then? How about if they put Cole and Lawler third? I think you can maybe put Punk and Orton after them.
Yeah, because I was going to say Punk Orton should be kind of early.
I can believe that. That's more legitimate.
Yeah, that as much as that's been a good feud, you could probably put that in there and not lose that much sizzle. Because as much as we've been talking about how great, and Matt hit the nail on the head, they're having a great time. The storyline is laid out really nice. It's not the one that's totally invested for the fans this time. This is just a good match, as you said, Justin, between two solid guys. So I could see that match going after Cole and Lawler fourth, and then maybe stick. Who knows? Maybe they'll stick. I have a feeling they're going to stick one of the title matches somewhere in the middle. Probably. Most likely, Edge and Del Rio.
Well, it depends on what they're going to go with last, and I guess we'll get to that now as we move on. So let us move on to the big three matches. Then we can kind of discuss which of these three we think should go last. So of course we'll start with the match that has happened in the past 10 years ago, but is being not talked about this go around. This match hasn't had too much of a build up until tonight when they really blew the doors off and went all out. And that is of course Triple H trying to end the streak of the dead.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Now, I kind of like that they're using the song full time for Taker. I think it really fits well and kind of gives him that kind of angry, you know, dead man edge to him. And I know you guys, I don't. Matt, had you seen the part tonight? I know you mentioned you haven't finished watching Raw yet.
I saw the part where they had the conversation.
Whole segment. Okay.
The conversation with Shawn Michaels, I saw the whole segment. And before we get going, I have to disagree with that song. I hate that song. It is the most annoying.
You have something against Johnny Cash?
I have something against you right now. I feel like I'm in an episode of Deliverance or something.
Nothing wrong with that.
I just think it fit. I thought it's been good with the promo, and I just thought that it fit his character for this run here. But the match, the feud itself hasn't been too much behind it. You know, they interfered, you know, or Triple H cut off Taker's return. They just stared at each other, and then they've gone back and forth week by week. They've had Shawn Michaels from home talking about the match.
Is there a heel in this match, or is these both like faces?
Yeah,
like,
I think they're both faces.
Okay, just checking.
And so,
definitely both faces here.
Tonight was finally the night where they really amped it up, and I kind of liked the way they did this because the two names themselves were able to carry the build to this point, and I think they should have saved their hottest segment for the go-home show to really finally put that icing on the cake, and they did that. They came out, they were, you know, going back and forth, right before they really started going back and forth, Shawn Michaels comes out, does his whole dance thing, you know, high energy in the ring, you know, comes out, talks about how he respects both men, talks about the, you know, the importance of the match, and then immediately just looks at Triple H and just says, "Who are you to think you're the one who can end the streak?" And then Triple H shits on Shawn, tells him that he thought, you know, Shawn got soft. He was just resting on the fact that he could give a good match to be Mr. WrestleMania. Didn't need to win anymore. He kind of lost that drive to be a winner. Triple H said he needs to win. Taker gave his rebuttal. Triple H, Taker talked about how they respected each other, how they looked up to each other, all that stuff. Then Taker kind of shoved Shawn, and Triple H kind of got in the way in between them and asked Shawn. He said, you know, tell Taker I can win this match. And Shawn just kind of looked at him and then left the ring and kind of mouthed, "You can't win," and walked away. So now this obviously leaves the door open for Shawn to get involved in the match. You know, obviously I'm going to pick Taker. You know, some people worry Triple H is going to end the streak. I don't see it happening. And I also don't know where they're going with Hunter in this. He made it seem like he only came back for this match, to be honest, the way he was talking. I'm sure he's going to stick around, but I don't think he's just going to get into regular feuds. I think it's just going to be, you know, a few big ones before he retires. And I'm going to lay out an angle I've kind of been hoping for. And after tonight, I don't know, I can kind of see it happening. Shawn comes out during the match, and he ends up costing Triple H the match, saying he couldn't allow Triple H to do what he couldn't do. And then you have one of them turn heel, and they have one last epic feud heading into SummerSlam. Shawn comes back for one more match. It's also Triple H's last match. They bill it his last time ever, and they go out with a bang in the SummerSlam main event. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for, something, you know, really intriguing to help this match. No DQ. I think it's going to be a good match. Scott, I know you're probably really, really looking forward to this one, as obviously Triple H is your boy. So why don't you take over from here?
Well, you know, when it comes to anything involving,
you're speechless for a second.
Well, it is a hard match to talk about for me because I don't. Can I get my point out and then you can blather after this? When it comes to Triple H, because he doesn't have much left, and he is still my favorite guy, and he always will be, and I know a lot of people on internet chat rooms and particularly on our board dislike him, usually fuels me, and people like to get my goat, and that's fun. It makes for great entertainment. it is hard to think objectively and subjectively at the same time. Objectively, I don't see Taker losing either, but you know, I thought about it last year, and they put the stip in about Shawn retiring. I thought if they didn't put that in there, that I thought Shawn was actually going to win. I don't know. There's like 5% of me that legitimately thinks that Triple H is going to win this match. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because he's my guy, and you can all think I'm fucking crazy, and that's fine. But something tells me a little bit. I don't know what it is, but a little bit tells me that he's going to hit the pedigree and win this match. I don't know why. I'm not picking him. I'm going to pick Taker. I could pick Triple H and then have the whole internet world hate me and whatever. And there's other Triple H fans too. Not many, but there are some. But I do like Justin's theory about him and Shawn. I don't want Shawn to overshadow the match per se. Kind of like Steve with the Cole Lawler, but to a different dynamic. I think it'll be a great match. Like the no holds barred part adds to the effect. And I think, and I didn't see the segment. I'm glad you guys mapped it out for me. I'm going to watch it after we're off the air. I do kind of think that Shawn was looking to entertain. Triple H just wants to win. That's the difference. Sure, Shawn wants to win, but Shawn wanted it to be a 5-star match. Where I think Triple H just doesn't care if the match is no stars. I think he just wants to beat him. And that's the difference for me in terms of the emotion going into this match. Triple H doesn't care if this match is Savage Steamboat or fucking Doink Dink and Bigelow and Luna. I don't think it matters to him in that aspect. Whether it's storyline or kayfabe or not, I think he just wants to win the match. So, having said that, objectively, as an analyst here and a PIC with Justin on the Place to Be podcast, I think Undertaker will probably win. But the 5% of me that will always defend the guy, and I've had to defend him many, 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 many times on our board and elsewhere, I'd like to see my guy steal the win and then have everybody get just be so pissed off. It'll just make me feel great. But that's just me. As a fan.
I didn't think Sean was going to get involved until tonight. This is the first time I thought there's going to be a reason they brought him out and had him do what he did.
Right.
And say what he said. And those video packages, they were very innocuous. I didn't think it was going to lead anywhere. But the way he came out and said, you know, what he said, and then Taker putting his hands on him and Shawn telling Triple H he couldn't win, and that who does he think he is? And there's going to be something behind that.
Probably. And there's another thing, though, that I was watching an earlier video package, earlier today I was watching SmackDown, and when they're talking about Taker and they're talking about the streak and all these guys are stroking it and everything, and then Shawn somehow comes out of nowhere and just says, nothing lasts forever. So there's a lot of angles that could be taken here. I mean, the DX buddies could be trying to snow one over on the dead man. You know, I don't know. I just hope that this doesn't fall flat. I'm nervous about that. Because like we said, and I don't disagree with this theory a lot of the time, Triple H wants to have the perfect match and somehow has never been able to have one. I wouldn't say never been able to have one. It depends on his opponent. A couple of his matches with Shawn were pretty good, and obviously a couple of matches with Rock, and then the three stages. So he has had a few. But I do always feel like every time he tries to go that extra mile, it falls flat. The problem is he always does it against the wrong guys. And we always use the Rumble 03 match with Steiner as an example. But I think he's going to go out. I think this match is going to be a complete car wreck of Attitude Era proportions. And 95% of me says Taker's going to go 19-0. But there's still that 5% in my heart that has been a fan of this guy long enough that something tells me he's going to pull it out. And maybe it's because I want the internet community to hate him more. It makes me feel better, but who knows. But the analyst, the optimistic, the objective analyst in me thinks that that Taker's going to win.
May I ask you a question?
Certainly.
What drives you to this 5%? Do you think that they're going to do something down the line between the two? Do you think that maybe this might lead to a match between the two next year at 28? Do you think do you have a reason behind the 5%?
I think part of it is just me being a fan. I'd like to maybe still the mark in me wants my guy to break it, and that's just maybe just the emotion in me. But another part of me feels that I think Taker is not as much. I don't want to say he's not as much into the streak as people think he is, because it's been offered multiple times for people to break it. As far as I know, depending on the opponent, obviously. I don't think Mark Henry was allowed to break it or anything, but. I think if somebody's going to break it, and everyone says, well, it's got to be some young guy. Well, no, it doesn't have to be some young guy. It could be anybody that's worthy of it. And maybe they stretch something out, and next year in front of 85,000 down in Miami, they do one more Boffo Zoppo thing. Taker wins it, and then
if Taker loses, he's done for WrestleMania. There's no point in having him come back and go 19-1. I mean, if he's going to wrestle again, he's going to be undefeated at this point. I just don't see the point in having him lose this year and win next year. I think the year, I don't think it's personally ever going to get broken. If it does, that's the year he's retiring. Because there's no point. There's no intrigue. You're killing the one guaranteed stip you have by having him come back next year as 18-1 to me. There's just no point in doing it. Mm-hmm. Matt, well, you agree with that point? Or?
I totally agree with that. I don't see him losing, at least until he gets to at least 20. You come this far, it could have ended at 18. It's kind of ridiculous. You need to at least get to 20 and make it look very dominant. I do like this match. I just don't see Triple H winning it. I do like Justin's idea about Shawn Michaels turning and then having a match, but I think it should be at WrestleMania if it's going to be in anything.
I don't think they'll build it for a year.
I don't think they would either, but if there's any rivalry that could have it going for a year, it could be Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But I'm going with the Undertaker on this one because I'm like Justin. I just don't see it being beaten. It doesn't make any sense to do it when you're at 18 going looking to go to 19 wins. It doesn't make much sense not to have him not win this match.
Derek?
Well, yeah. I do have a question, though. Do you guys feel, and this is, I just was thinking about this, do you guys feel that they've had enough time to really make a good build out of this?
Yeah, like, definitely. They've had 6 weeks.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying, let's throw tonight's phenomenal segment between the two out. Now, if they had like a lackluster segment, do you feel it would have been enough time?
Yeah, I think they had enough time. I would have said they just botched it. But I like the idea that they used the two names to sell it until tonight when they added all that extra heat. Because if they did this segment like 3 weeks ago and then did all the talking segments, then you're going to say, all right, they're losing some steam. I think saving this big thing, you know, now we have to wonder for this week, is Shawn going to be there? What's Shawn going to do? You know, if they did this a month ago and Shawn doesn't show up for 4 weeks, then you're saying, all right, he's not doing anything. But now Shawn showed up on the go-home show. He got involved and basically made hints of something coming. I think the way they did it actually was really good. I wasn't crazy about the build-up before this, but after tonight, I think they really solidified this as adding a lot of intrigue to the match.
As far as build-up goes, when it comes to Taker, at this stage of his career, especially with his fan base, it doesn't matter how much they build it up, really. It's going to be the main event of the show. It doesn't matter if they never met tonight or they didn't meet 6 weeks ago. Taker just has that much steam going with him, no matter where he is or if he's just come back or whatever.
So, Derek, do you obviously think the streak's going to continue?
Well, yes, and here's my theory behind it. I agree with you, Justin. They're not going to if Taker loses, this is it. He'll either stick around for a little while and maybe retire at some point. But, you know, I was thinking about the comment you made earlier, Scott, about the fact that, you know, if somebody ends the streak, they have to be young. Well, you're right. It doesn't have to be a young person. But if somebody is to break it, I don't think it should be Triple H. And the reason why is because he doesn't need it. He has an established career. He's a 13-time world champion. He's got so many other titles under his belt. He's got so many victories over so many other established stars, from Randy Orton to The Rock. He's done it all. And the fact that him ending the streak, it just doesn't seem right to me. And I don't think it should be a young guy, but I also don't think it should be someone as established as Triple H.
I don't think it should be anyone.
Well, no, and you're right. It's going to come to the point where it shouldn't be anybody, but I've said it before. If somebody's going to break the streak, it's going to be somebody who can use the heat that they're going to get from this. And I've said before that if anyone should do it, this was before that The Miz won the title. Mm-hmm. If anyone should do it, it would be The Miz because it would be.
He would be great at using it, similar in a Chris Jericho way.
Exactly.
I guess my problem, it's not even that I believe in the streak as much as I have no faith in the writing team to effectively use the winner or the person who ends it. Like, it, to me, the payoff will never be worth ending it. You might as well just let them, you know, retire undefeated because they'll blow it no matter who they have win.
Yeah.
So
that's just my theory behind it. But it's going to be a great match. And it could be, I'd see Triple H maybe just starting to cut back a little bit on wrestling, maybe starting to settle a little bit because he's got that front office role now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's become more prominent once Vince dies. And I say dies because he's never going to retire at this point. But the way I see it is it's going to be Triple if Taker's going to win. They may have a match at SummerSlam, and Taker will probably retire next year after winning whoever he faces. But
yeah, he'll go 20.
Yeah, I gotta go. They want to give him 20, so you got to go 20. So I'm going with Taker. But it's going to be a great match. And for some reason, I think Shawn might get involved. because he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine he would get he'd get involved one way or another. But I'm thinking Taker's going to win.
All right. So let's we spent a pretty good chunk on this match. Well, let's get on to our first heavyweight. Of course, the best theme song going today. The best entrance today.
That's true.
And that is Alberto Del Rio.
Who?
Yeah, you know, Alberto Del Rio. And of course, he has this tremendous ring announcer and running buddy, Ricardo Rodriguez, who is excellent in his role.
As a toad boy.
Yeah, he's great. He's just he's great with the introduction. Tonight he did an epic one where he's, you know, you could make out a little bit of it, saying Royal Rumble winner, WrestleMania main eventer. It was going on forever. And, you know, that just works perfectly for his gimmick. And I also like Brodus Clay as his muscle as well now. That's pretty good as well. Obviously, as I mentioned to Scott, I think he looks like Bowser from Super Mario Brothers.
He clearly does, yeah.
And I think he should actually add one more guy to his mix, too. One more toady. Because it would be perfect for him to have a little entourage running around, especially
Matt.
After he wins
he
the title.
He should add Matt to his entourage.
Yeah, yes. He could drive the Bentley.
I'm too good looking for that.
Probably not. But we... All right, so Del Rio, obviously the winner of the Royal Rumble, facing Edge, World Heavyweight Champion. Now, there are rumors that Christian may get added to this match and make it a triple threat match. Christian has defeated Del Rio 2 weeks in a row on SmackDown. So you would think they're leading towards that. Now, there's also the thought that this could just be old school WWF booking back in the day where they would have their champion lose to someone a couple times before he won the title, so they had a ready-made feud for him coming out of that match. If Christian doesn't get into the match, it looks like he's at least going to be in Edge's corner, because when they showed the graphic tonight, they had Clay in Del Rio's corner and Christian in Edge's on the graphic. I could see Christian, you know, turning heel, costing Edge the title. I could also see him accidentally costing Edge the title and then Edge turning heel, you know, pissed off that he tried to help him and he didn't. But I could see Christian saying, you know what, I have helped you. You haven't really helped me in the lead up to this match and end up turning heel on him. So... I'm going to take Del Rio, no matter how, you know, via Christian, via no Christian. I think Del Rio's, this title is obviously going to be his to win. They've given him the mega push, and he's worked his ass off, I think, since he's debuted, and his character's great, and I've definitely been on the Del Rio bandwagon for a while, so I'm going to go with him. How about you, Matt?
Sorry. I'm going with Del Rio in this one, too. They have gone too far not to have him win this. I think it'll be a big boost, and he will solidify himself as one of the top guys for years to come. I think it's a great gimmick he's going with. He's been awesome in everything he has done, and I think he's definitely the champion that SmackDown needs right now. I love Edge, but I think he'll be a lot better going after him than being his champion at this point.
Derek?
Well, I want to say this. Adding Christian into the match is not going to work, and it's a bad idea. I know that he's gotten victories over Alberto Del Rio, but it doesn't make sense at this point. You don't need a third guy because this match is going to be great anyway. Why would you I'm not going against Christian at all. I just think it's a bad idea to add a third guy into the match because you know, doing it 2 days before the show is just a really bad idea.
Yeah, that's what leads me to think they're not going to go that route. I think they would have done it by now.
Yeah, because it's just ridiculous. You don't want to do that. But I'm also going with Alberto Del Rio, and the reason is simple. I had felt that he winning the Royal Rumble was huge for him. I had thought he was going to enter in earlier than he did, not at number 38. I expected him to enter maybe even halfway or hell, even be number one and winning it all, and that would be even bigger than how he did it. But still, the fact that he won was just good enough. He's come so far. They're really behind him. They made him take off the mask, as we all know he was Dos Caras before coming into when he came into the WWE. They made him take off the mask. They're pushing him to great lengths. They have the former Mantor as his bodyguard. I mean, it only makes sense at this point to have him win the title, and the person to drop it to him with Edge. Edge has been a great champion. He's done a great job since beating Kane for the title. The fact for him to lose at this point is it's not going to hurt him. He's going out a fighting champion, and it makes sense for him to do that. So I'm definitely going with Del Rio in this match, and I would think that Christian would be in his corner, and Clay will be in Del Rio's corner. And I obviously think there's going to be some schmage or some screw job involved in there. And it could be accidental. It could be on purpose. Who knows? But I'm definitely going with Del Rio in this
match. Scott, what do you think?
You know, as much as I love Del Rio's character, and I've enjoyed this build, I don't know why my emotions are drawing me to pick Edge to keep the title here. I feel like I'm picking too many heels, and I feel like there's a lot of matches here where heels are already going to win. And considering we just talked about a match that has two baby faces in it, something tells me Edge is going to keep it and lose it at Extreme Rules. I don't think it's going to end in a schmoz. DQ title matches at WrestleManias are stupid anyway, and I know I don't know how I can't think off the top of my head how often they've happened, but they just shouldn't anyway. Something tells me Edge is going to keep it. I don't think Christian's going to have anything to do with it. I just think they're just going to go back and forth, and I think Edge is going to get a lucky spear, overcome the arm injury, and I think he's going to keep the title. So I'm going to this is my other – I don't want to say it's necessarily an upset special because this is a kind of match where bookers may still be talking about it right now and not have decided yet. It's just one of those kind of matches where nothing may be set in stone yet. So – I don't want to say it's an upset special, kind of like Punk over Orton, but I'm going to hedge my bet here, and I'm going to take Edge to keep the title. And I think Del Rio will win it at Extreme Rules.
Okay, interesting take. At least we get some dissension there. So let's also now move on to the main event. This is the match. You know, a lot of people don't know what's going to happen because you have Cena trying to get his title back from The Miz. Miz, I think, has been, you know, pretty great as a champion. The fact that he had a new belt and is really coming into his own, I originally thought maybe he was going to retain here, but now there's been word coming out that that is going to go on last at this show, and I guess, Derek, I think it was you that said they're listing that as the main event now on the website.
Yeah, according to what I saw, it was originally Taker and Triple H, but it's been changed now to Cena and Miz as the main event, so...
So, I mean, if they're going to last, Cena's obviously going to win, but now you got to wonder, what role is The Rock going to play? Because tonight on Raw, the show ended... with them all get, you know, Rock and Cena. I haven't actually watched the whole segment. I was just, you know, watching it as we were talking. I didn't listen to it, but I know Rock and Cena had a back and forth that Miz came out and Rock actually physically got involved. Miz and Riley assaulted him, and then Rock fought them off, but then Cena dropped him with an FU. So they're obviously teasing, you know, physical interference on The Rock here. You got to wonder how he's going to play in. Is he going to end up just coming out and getting involved after the match? Does he end up beating up Miz and then him and Cena are friends? You know, you really wonder where they're going with this. Can they really be looking to do a one-year build for Rock Cena in Miami? It would be pretty epic if they did it. Or do they say, you know, part of me thinks they should have struck while the iron was hot now. Who knows where Rock is going to be in a year? Maybe he gets a $1 billion movie offer. You know, who the hell knows what he's going to be doing and if he'll be available? He's available now. I think they should have done it now. I understand why they didn't, but I think maybe it would have been the best time for it. I'm going to say Cena wins. That's because Cena's always a safe bet when you're making picks. If it doesn't go last, though, I think that means Miz is keeping it.
This situation is a little confusing for me, too, because it's kind of like the Austin situation with Lawler and Cole. I don't know why I keep referencing this match, because that match has such a dynamic to it. I'm almost thinking that Rock has kind of thrown a wrench into the whole Cena-Miz feud, and I give Miz a lot of credit. He's got a strong enough personality that he's been able to keep himself strong. But I have a feeling Rock next year is probably going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, obviously being in Miami next year for 28. I think he is going to be inducted into the Hall. So whether
Don't
he wrestles...
Don't you think that's kind of early, though?
No. Well, no? Steve got inducted. Stone Cold's already in.
Well, that's because his career is over. That's because Austin can't really wrestle that much anymore. The Rock, you want it to.
Yeah, but we know he probably won't, and not on a consistent level. And he's in Miami. It's a perfect spot. I think he'll be inducted next year. Doesn't mean he won't wrestle, but I've I've kind of gone back and forth. A lot of these matches, I'll tell you something, from a perspective of who's going to win, this actually is one of the more ambiguous WrestleMania cards in the last few years, because there's a lot of matches that really could go either way. And these picks have not been easy. Cena's going to win because, like Justin said, always, you know, you always bet on him in a big spot. It's not often he loses. I just hope that that Rock doesn't come out till the end. I don't want him coming out 5 minutes in and then causing all this chaos and the match doesn't get the proper time it deserves in the ring. Because I think these two could put on a pretty good match, actually. But I think Cena's going to win. I think it's clear, regardless where it is in the card, I think Cena's going to win. And we'll see what the Rock build is. I mean, could they go a whole year? I don't know. But I'll tell you something, and I said this to Justin a few podcasts ago. If Cena wins, this is where the writers and the WWE brain trust need to be very careful here. If Cena wins, and I'm curious to see your guys' opinion of this. If Cena wins and him and Rock do a kissy-kissy at the end, I think you're going to see a huge percentage of the viewing audience vanish. Because I think at that point they'll be like, all right, enough of this. We're done with all this. We're done with this guy and his goddamn purple fucking t-shirts and all this kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy bullshit. I'd like to see Cena kick Rock in the fucking teeth and give me a cool rap ripping some type of politically incorrect group next week. And if you noticed, and I watched it again earlier today, when he did the rap, when he started rapping, suddenly the crowd changed. The guys were cheering, and the girls were booing. So it's really hard to gauge what will happen at the end of this. But I'll tell you something. If we have another kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy, you know, fucking Diesel, Pamela Anderson nonsense at the end there, I think you're going to see a huge chunk of the fan base vanish.
Kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy?
Yeah, just all this baby-faced, sugary bullshit. And I think if Rock or Cena knocks the other out at the end, I don't think Rock will knock Cena out if he wins. But if there's like, yay, look, oh, they're happy, done.
The only thing that makes me confident that may not happen is I just don't think Rock will do that. I don't think he'd go for it. I think he knows what kind of reaction that would bring.
I agree with you. I think that's where the smarter Attitude Era-esque thinking may come into play here. But I'm just saying, and maybe I'm being a little pessimistic here. And again, when we do our post show podcast, maybe next week, maybe I'm wrong, but I just have a bad feeling that people are this close, and I have my two fingers like an 18th of an inch apart, this close to just walking out if we have to see any sugary bullshit at the end of this show. That's just my opinion.
How are you, Matt?
I really like the makeup of this match. I think just seeing John Cena pretty much every weekend is ass handed to him has been great. I thought last week's ending sucked, but that was me. I don't know what's going to happen in this match, and I'm pretty much almost there with Scott. I don't want to see another. I'm not going to say what he said, but I don't want to see him hugging or doing anything with Rock. I see the Rock destroys both of them, or one destroys or Cena, or whoever destroys the two other people, but I'm going with Cena on this one. I just don't see him losing at WrestleMania.
And Derek?
I'm going to disagree with every single one of you and on the winner, and the reason is simple. What happened tonight was The Rock hit the people's elbow on The Miz, threw him out of the ring, watched him go up the ramp, Cena got in the ring right behind The Rock, Rock turns around, oh, the FU, the AA, whatever the hell it's called these days. And that's it, the end of the show. Rock wants his revenge, he's going to get it, we're going to see a Rock Bottom at WrestleMania, there is no doubt about it. And I'm going to say this, Scott. There's not going to be any kissy-kitsy, smoochy-woochy, none of this talk that you see on Seinfeld. You're going to see The Rock hit the rock bottom. You're going to see him hit it on Cena and The Miz and maybe even Alex Riley. And then we're going to see a happy ending the way we want to see it. But I think what will happen is, I don't think, you know, I think that Cena is probably going to win. There's no doubt about it. But there's also that upset factor, because The Miz has only had the title for a few months. And the way they've been positioning him is not to be as much as a transition champion. You know, Cena could get the title back, great. But there's also that possibility that The Miz retains the title. And the fact is that if they want to keep him the title on him one more month, just to get some good things out of it, then they can. Because with how they've been pushing Miz lately, I just don't see him losing the title right now. It's Mania, yes. Cena is chasing it, yes. But I just don't see Miz losing the title right now. I had my heart set on Cena at first, but now that I've seen everything progress and everything that's been happening lately, I just don't really see Miz losing the title. But I do see Rock and Cena just Rock hitting the rock bomb on Cena getting his revenge, because I just don't see any smoochy woochy bullshit. That's what I just don't see. But I'm going to go in the opposite end, and I should say Cena's going to win, but I'm not. I'm going to say The Miz is going to win. The Miz will retain the title.
All right, well, we will see, and I hope we're right about the ending, and hopefully that Rock is, it just knows a little bit better than to try that kind of shit with this modern crowd. And I don't think they're going to do it, because I think they want to lead to more than that, especially after tonight. So, all right, so that wraps up the card. We made our picks, and I wanted to briefly, before we go too long here, but I just wanted to quickly touch on the Hall of Fame, for this year. I think it's a pretty solid class. Obviously, Shawn Michaels is the headliner. They've already announced that Kevin Nash and Sean Waltman will be in attendance for his induction. Also, of course, is my personal favorite, Sonny, and seeing that video, of course, from way back to 1996. Mm. One of my favorites there. Drew Carey going in as the celebrity. I know a lot of people have had issue with that, but I don't really feel like getting into that all again. Abdul the Butcher is going in. Bullet Bar Armstrong is going in. And just announced tonight, obviously, was the final announcement, and it made perfect sense to say we're in Chicago, and that is the Legion of Doom, of course. The Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal. And they also announced that Precious Paul Ellering will be inducted along with them, which makes sense, and it's only fitting that he would go in with them. So,
and you also forgot about Scott's favorite wrestler, Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
I'm going to spare him the USA song on this podcast, since I play it for him every other time. But
please, thank you.
And I think, is that all of them?
Please play it. Please play it.
I'll blow it out your ass.
Come on.
I'm going to take the laptop and crush you with it.
Did I miss
you get a fit?
Did I miss any, or is that everyone?
No, I think that it. Yeah, I think that's everybody. I had thought for most of these weeks that they were really understating the Hall of Fame class this year, because I mean, how often?
I got my 2x4.
All right, I fucking quit. You can all go to hell. Okay.
You know what?
All right,
let the man speak.
Go ahead.
I hope Abdullah sticks a fucking fork in his forehead right on stage. I felt like this class was somewhat understated. I mean, it's the first year that we've had like announcements on the website. Maybe there was one last year on the website, but this year there was like three.
Yeah, there was like two last year.
And I felt like they kind of understated it because they didn't want it. It just didn't have that. It kind of reminded me of last year's a little bit. And even the year, I think it was 07 when Dusty went in, it was just kind of understated. Like Justin, I've been the biggest Sonny Mark forever. She's the greatest diva in the history of the company. I'll always love her. And obviously, it's going to be very emotional in Atlanta when Animal goes up there, and you're going to get the Hawk chance, mm-hmm. and it's going to be pretty special, because even though they didn't win the Place to Be tag team tournament, and I still am befuddled by that. To me, the Road Warriors are the greatest tag team ever put together. And that takes nothing away from the Hart Foundation or Demolition, who actually made it to the finals of that tournament. But I just think that they're the greatest team ever. They're always booked well. They're always booked right. And until Vince got a hold of them, and then a lot of that could be disputed. But the class overall is good. And yes, Duggan was going to get in eventually, and I know that. Thank God Sonny's in to kind of counter that. But And I'm sure the Bushwhackers will get in eventually, too, and I'll probably hate that as well. But the fact remains is I think the class overall is pretty solid, and it'll make for a fun night. And I think Sean will have a good speech at the end. And I think overall it's a good class. I think they did about as good as they could with the class they put together, and I think it'll be a good night.
Now, are you guys disappointed? Because, you know, a lot of people, I think it was one of those things where they kind of got their hopes up, you know, expecting something that just was never planned. But do you think they should have done more of a WCW-themed, you know, maybe try and get Goldberg or, Arn Anderson obviously seemed like a gimme for this year, and he's not going in. But do you think that's something maybe they should have strived for being in Atlanta, or do you think it's just more, you know, that really doesn't matter?
I think it was tough inducting any of these kind of guys without having flair. You couldn't induct Arn without having flair.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think they're
going to wait. Well, on the flip side, they probably could have gotten flair if they wanted to.
Yeah, I'm sure Rick would have just showed up anyway. But yeah.
Everybody's got a price.
But my personal opinion is I think they'll wait to do a class like that and induct Horsemen and guys like that when they can get flair in.
I totally agree with that. I just have to say one thing. I don't know why the hell Bob Armstrong is getting into this Hall of Fame. What the heck did he do? He has three sons who wrestled, two of them who were jobbers at WCW, and one was the Road Dog.
Yeah, but he was a pretty big star in the South. He was always pretty over in a lot of those promotions, and I don't know. I think he deserves to go in. I don't think it has anything to do with who his kids are. I think it's just more of the legacy he had down South in the promotions.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
no, yeah, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say that I'll agree with you, Scott. One-third of the entrants that are going in weren't announced on TV. They were announced on the website. And it would have been nice to give them some recognition on Raw. And it would have been nice because you're getting Abby's going in there, and so was Bullet Bob Armstrong. They didn't really push them on TV. They pushed him on the website. And it's a pretty decent class because you got Shawn Michaels headlining it. Mm-hmm. You got Drew Carey going in. You got Sonny going in. And you got Bullet Bob Armstrong. You got the Road Warriors going in. You got Abdullah the Butcher. And I think they could have gone with a WCW theme. And the reason is they could have inducted Luger. They could have inducted... as I said, they could have inducted Lex Luger. They could have inducted Arn. They didn't really need... If they had Tully with them, they could have inducted Tully and Barry Windham. If they had them available, they could have done the Horsemen anyway. You need Flair, yeah. But they could have done the Brainbusters, you know.
I still think they could have gotten Flair. I mean, I think if they wanted to and they called them and said, come back, he would have came back in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Poor Dixie Carter.
Question is,
no, poor Flair. what he's become.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. All right, well, so. You guys are... Yeah, well, I will say this. The one thing they could have done is they could have taken the time to maybe induct the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
No, I don't think...
Not with John in this class.
Yeah, we talked about that, I think, on an earlier podcast when we first started.
No, I know. What I'm saying is they could have done is if they didn't induct Sean, they should have inducted Savage.
Obviously. Yeah.
That's going to save for another year, but if they were going to go with the WCW theme, they would have had Savage in there instead of Sean. Yeah. And they would have had a few other WCW alumni, but they didn't go that route. They have one WCW alumni in the Road Warriors. So they kind of really, and they do have a second in Abdullah, although his probably was more in the NWA kind of thing, but still, it's close enough, and the fact that they got a third in there, so that's not bad.
Not at all. So, I think that kind of wraps things up. I just wanted to touch, you know, on the Hall of Fame quickly, just to get that out there. We made our picks, talked about the card. I think overall, it's going to be a good show this year.
One more question.
Yeah.
May I ask one more question?
Yep.
Who do you guys? Let's ask this: what match is going to main event the show? What's the final match on Mania?
Well, see, I think it should be Taker Triple H at this point. I think it will be Cena Miz.
I agree with Justin. I'd like it to be Triple H and Taker too. But
how about you, Matt?
Go ahead, Matt.
What was the question? I'm sorry, I missed it.
What match do you think will be the final match for Mania?
I probably have to go with Miz Cena on that one.
Okay. Well, I would say that if there was something that was, if the Taker Triple H match had a nice stipulation like they did last year with Shawn and Shawn's career on the line, then I'd say those two. But I don't think it's going to be that. Although it would be nice. It'd be very cool to see that. But it's probably going to be Cena and Miz. So I agree with all of you.
Yeah, now, it depends on The Rock, too, how he's involved.
Yeah, that too.
Now, I'm not trying to put anything in anybody's head. And I'm not trying to, you know, politic, har-har, inside joke there, for my guy. But
yes,
with
you
the
are.
Placement of this, will the placement of this match change your, I don't want to say change your pick, because no one's going to change our pick, I know that. But does it put any, does having this match either last or not last put any seed of doubt?
No.
As to whether Taker wins or loses?
No. I think the only match that would change in my mind, depending on placement, is Cena-Miz. If it's earlier in the show, I think Miz is winning. If it's later, I think Cena wins. But I think Taker, Triple H, doesn't matter. Taker's winning.
Well, okay. I want to say this. I'm going to disagree with you on the fact that if they have it last, Cena's going to win. Because look back at WrestleMania 2000. They had the Fatal 4-Way. That's the last
match. Yeah, that was 11 years ago.
Doesn't matter, though.
No, all right. Well, look at 19, look at 18, look at 17, look at 60. I mean, you have 25 other options if you want to say it doesn't matter. I mean, that was once 11 years ago.
No, and you know what? You know what, Derek? The landscape of the company is different now. The attitude era, no one gave a shit who won or lost. It was different. No, I mean, yes, this is a chance of it happening, of course. But the crowd and the product was different in 2000. We were all grizzled.
Yeah, but even then, we weren't happy. A lot of fans weren't happy. They thought it should never have happened that he retained, and that was when Triple H, you know, had a big following, and people were against that result at that point.
Well, they did that because they wanted to, you know, because Stone Cold wasn't ready, and they wanted to make the Backlash main event have a little more sizzle. So they were actually, it was almost like they were overlooking that. It was almost like as Justin and I now affectionately call it, the Tuesday in Texas syndrome, where you look ahead to the next show and kind of throw that show in the tank.
Well, I think the theory on that show was that WrestleMania is going to draw a big buy rate anyway, so let's save the big shit for Backlash to get a big payday out of that. I think that was the thinking there.
But no, Derek, we're not saying that. I'm just saying the example you gave is more because the landscape 10 years ago was very different than now. But sure, I could see. I mean, I don't think you'd have The Miz. I get your point.
Yeah, no, I understand. And you're right. The landscape is different because it's so much different than it was 10 years ago because it's so different today. I'm just waiting for them to have Elmo versus Grover with Big Bird as the special guest referee because that's what's going to happen next year.
All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. I hope everyone enjoyed the final appearance of Derek LaRue on the Place to Be podcast.
Thank you very much. You guys are never getting an intro again.
We do have some feedback, but we're going to get on that later in the week. Scott and I will be back either Wednesday or Thursday. What we're going to do is go back through some classic WrestleManias and do some lists. We're going to do ranking the manias, ranking the main events, ranking the opener, stuff like that. Some fun debate stuff that him and I are going to go through. So we'll get to that. We'll also get to some feedback we've gotten on that show. So hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/placetobepodcast. You can hit us with your WrestleMania picks, Bigelow34ProBoards.com. Hit us there as well. So we look forward to hearing from you there and look forward to WrestleMania as well. So I want to thank Matt and Derek for joining us. For my cohort Scott, I am Justin Rosero. We will talk to you later.